Hey everybody, welcome back to a Moment for Mom podcast. It's your girl Nyris. I'm excited to be back to bring you guys another exciting topic, another episode filled with knowledge, information, and experience on the motherhood journey. And today's topic is stay-at-home mothers. One that is very close to me because like I've said before, I'm a stay-at-home mom, aside from the other things that I do as well. And, you know, it's one of those topics that can be very controversial for a lot of people. You know, it's one of those topics that if you ask around, What do you think a stay-at-home mom does or is? And you get a lot of different opinions and a lot of different judgments. So, you know, it's a sensitive topic. It's a topic that for you to get to that point, it takes sacrifice. You know, it takes sacrifice and it takes a decision that you and your significant other make. And, you know, you do what's best for your family. I always say that every home is different. Every situation is different. Every parent in their own home does different things that work best for their family. And regardless of what others may think, you know, or others may say, it's something that has to be beneficial for you, and it has to make sense for you and your family. You know, you're going to get people that can say, oh, they're lazy, or others that say they're making the best decision of their life. Some may say they're not contributing to society, and others say it's the best sacrifice you can make. So you're going to get a million different things, a million different opinions. You have to be the one to make that decision and make the choice and be happy with the choice for whatever reason it is that you're doing it. And believe it or not, I was reading an article. I think it's verywellfamily.com. And it says 71% of moms do work outside of the home. 29% are staying home. This was in 2018. I'm sure that number has grown significantly in both ends. So, you know, it's a big number and it continues to grow. And a lot of women actually don't go back to work once they do have children. And, you know, it's a different situation for everyone. And for me personally, you know, it's a decision that my spouse and I, we decided what was best for us, and it's worked out. And I'm not going to say it's the best decision because I'm not going to say that it's the easiest, correction, not the best. That's not what I meant to say. The easiest decision. But for us, it was the best decision when we made it. So I'm excited to you know, to add my guest and have this conversation that I'm sure it's had many, many times. And you hear people talking about it over and over again. So I'm excited to share this topic with you guys, my experience and my guest's experience. And hope you guys enjoy. Just stay tuned while I add my guest. I'll be right back. Okay, finally.
Okay, so we're back. And I have my girl, Liz Beth, Miss founder, creator of K-Mommy. Is it K-Mommy Inc?
Or K-Mommy? Yes, K-Mommy Inc.
K-Mommy Inc. So you guys should follow her on Instagram, K-Mommy, for great content and a lot of other good stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Lizbeth is my cousin's, I'm gonna say wife, because you guys been together that long. So she's
Yes.
my cousin's wife. They have two kids. She has a daughter and a son. Your daughter's 9, right?
Yes.
And King is 1.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about your you just started working again, but you were a stay-at-home mom with Kai, right?
Yes, I was. So I started, you're talking about like when I first started working after maternity leave or working now after quarantine?
I'm saying like when you were a stay-at-home mom with like after you had Kai.
Okay, yes. So
How long were you?
I was a stay-at-home mom with Kai for about 2.5, 3 years. And it was one of the most challenging, but definitely rewarding parts of my life and of motherhood.
And
And
what before we continue, what is a stay-at-home mom?
a stay-at-home mom is basically a woman, a mother who sacrifices working to stay at home, educate, feed, just raise their children, whether they have one or five. She is just at home making it easier for everyone within the household to go about their lives, sacrificing her time and her needs and her goals to be there for her family. That's what a stay-at-home
Exactly.
mom is to me.
I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. And what is the most for you? What is the most difficult part about being a stay-at-home mom?
The most difficult part is definitely the guilt trip you give yourself. I mean, when you're basically, you could say in isolation because you're the adult and then you're with kids. So when you're in isolation with yourself and your thoughts, you have to kind of hold off on your ideas and your goals, in order for you to kind of like handle your task at hand with your kids. Whatever they're going through, whether it's a good day or a bad day, you put them first before anything, before your self-care, before your relationship sometimes, before your career. And it's hard because you know one day at one point it'll shift and you'll be able to do those things, but in that moment it feels like it'll never come and it's forever. So that can kind of discourage you and kind of like take you away from. So that's one of the reasons why being a stay-at-home mom is just one of the hardest jobs ever.
I was reading this article from verywellfamily.com, and it gives some pros and cons on the reasons, like the pros of being a stay-at-home mom and versus the cons. And I just want to read it, and then I want to ask if you agree or disagree. So some of the pros are increase in your child's school performance. Your child has less stress and aggression. And the cons are mothers often desire to go back to work. Mothers have higher levels of sadness and anger. And 3, social isolation from mother spending time mostly with kids. Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And it definitely may vary for some women. And it sometimes it's all the above. I know for me and my perspective, I went through everything that you basically described because you become, at one point, it's like, okay, this is my job. I got it. And when you get that down and you kind of feel secure in your rhythm as a stay-at-home mom and your schedule, whatever you have with your kids, you then become okay. I need to be doing something for myself. And then when that doesn't happen or fall into place the way you want it or expect it, then the discouragement and the resentfulness comes. Now, like maybe sometimes it's towards your kids and sometimes it could be towards your partner. Because let's say if they're supportive or not, you're still gonna feel that because you want to be in their shoes.
and have the freedom and the liberty they may have to just, okay, I'm going back to work. And the only option is you staying with them. And it's not in a mean way. It's just how it always falls and ends up.
Right. And as much as I always say, as much as it's like for me, it's a great decision and I feel happy about it. It's you still go through the emotions. You still go through the emotions where you question or you feel guilty about your decision or, you know, you feel isolated because who are you talking to all day?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And you question, like, what am I doing for myself? What about me? Or, you know, so it's a lot of the things that you're saying and a lot of the, when I read this article, I was like, yes, 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 yes. Because, you know, you go through your times when you're like, I'm doing an amazing job. I'm, you know, I'm a mom. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I got it down packed. But then there's times when you feel like, what am I doing for me?
Yep.
You know, and then that's when all the other stuff comes into play, you know, that a lot of people don't think about, you know. For you, how did you make the decision that, like, okay, I'm going to stay home with Kai?
I mean, it was pretty easy because both the father and I agreed that we weren't ready to leave our child so soon and so early. I mean, we could have done it sooner, but we didn't just because we were first-time parents and we were super freaked out. One and two, I had my own paranoia behind leaving her. I was very adamant about, like, wanting her to speak clear sentences about what she liked and what she didn't like. Just because I had a paranoia about someone hurting her. And that's just my own personal feelings and right. issues I had. But to get to the point, I felt like that was important to me before we kind of put her in like a half daycare. And thankfully, you know, she was speaking. She's very intelligent and she was able to, you know, very, very directly tell how she felt and how was her day. But as far as why we decided, I mean, it was just easier. His job was more consistent than what I had. I had a lot of part times working with nonprofits, so it was probably a little bit more flexible for me. And then he had, right. at that time, only a full time. And he had to go back, you know what I mean? And he had to support the family and what he could. And me being away wasn't ideal in that moment.
Right. For me, with Elijah, it was the same as with you. Like, we didn't want to leave. I was getting anxiety the minute that I got pregnant because I'm like, who is going to watch my kid? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like a whole bunch of... It was just like I was having real bad anxiety because I didn't know. I'm like, who am I going to leave my son with? I don't trust anybody. I'm not, you know, he's so small. So then we came to the decision like, okay, I'm going to stay home. With the twins, it was more, I was working and then I had to be on bed rest. But then when I had the twins, it was like, yeah, okay, I'm not about to pay $250 per child. And they're like, how many weeks? 6 weeks? No, I'd rather save that money and stay home until I know that they can, especially because they were preemies, you know, it was a lot of, yeah. It was just a lot for with the sure. twins. They were preemies, you know, and I personally wasn't ready to leave them, basically leave them to people that I didn't feel comfortable with. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's my second time around.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's at the end of the day, it's still a hard decision because you're still, for me with the twins, it was harder because I was older and I already was doing so much for myself. And then to have to kind of like step back from all of that to like, okay, now I'm going to go back to being a stay-at-home mom. You know, it was a hard decision for me,
yeah.
It was a hard personal decision
for, sure.
for me to make at that time, you know. Have you ever felt regret for making the decision?
For being a stay-at-home mom?
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, yes and no, but in the moment, because you're so like indulged and like wrapped up in the situation of making sure your kid is good, I didn't regret it. But looking back, I felt like I still could have been a little less uptight with myself and my child, and more giving myself freedom and trusting the tribe around me to like contribute to taking care of my child. Because that's another thing, like, once again, you know, I was a young mother. I was pregnant with her at 22, gave birth at 23, and I wanted to prove people wrong. I didn't want them to think like, oh, she's young, she's gonna hang out and leave the baby all the time. Oh, she doesn't know what she's doing. Oh, she's, right, you know, de cuidad, which means, you know, she's not as on top of her kids as she should. You know, I, even though I knew I wasn't going to be
the peer pressure,
I wasn't going to be those things. I definitely didn't want, I didn't want anyone to make me feel a way if I wanted to live my life. So I just decided, like, you know what, let me just focus on my kid and then I'll worry about myself later, which was a huge mistake. Yeah. But when you're young and, you know, you choose and you're stubborn and you want what you want, you do what you do, that ends that way. But I definitely learned my lesson, and my partner as well, which is another conversation, because we just took the parent torch and just went straight and forgot about each other. So that's another that's another podcast.
Right.
That's another podcast.
That's definitely coming, yes, for yes. Sure.
But yeah. To answer your question, it's definitely ahead. A yes and no. Looking at her now and how intelligent, I can't take all the credit for her, of course, you know, the dad did do something. But looking at her, she's intelligent and she's just well-spoken and she's just a whole full-round great human. And I'm not just saying that because it's my child. I look back, I'm like, you know what? You know, it was good. It was good the time I lasted. So yeah, definitely a yes and no, that I don't regret it.
I would. I think I feel the same too. I think for me, it's yes and no. I think so, because I feel like,
sorry, there's music outside. I have the door open. I'm sorry.
It's okay. In our culture, I feel like there's so much pressure being put on females, especially when you're in a relationship, especially when it comes to you're pregnant now, you know, it's automatically thought the woman is going to stay home. And, you know, there's just all these preconceived notions that are already set, you know, so you're, even though you don't want to fall into that, you kind of still do, because it's just, unfortunately, the world that we live in, you know, especially in our culture, our Latin culture, you know, there's a lot of machismo, and there's a lot of, you know, women are supposed to do this versus men. And, you know, when I had Eli, like you, I was younger and I didn't really think about a lot of stuff. It just was automatic, like, okay, I'm going to stay home and, you know, David is going to work and whatever. And I really didn't focus on me. And that's one thing that I do regret, because like you, I could have given myself a little bit more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have to be all or nothing.
Exactly.
You know? Versus now, when I had the twins, I think about it and I feel like that's why I struggled more with my postpartum, because I didn't want to give all.
You get what
I'm saying? So it's like I already know where I am, where I was, and that's where I want to be. Versus before with Eli, we had no idea. When we had our first kids, we had no idea. There's no like manual. This is what you have to do. And, you know, you just go, like you say, you run with the torch and you do what you can. So it's definitely a yes and no for me as well. The question linking to this is, do you feel like society and family put a lot of pressure on stay-at-home moms?
Before, I felt like it was worse, especially when I had Kai, it was still not only in our culture, but just in society. Now I feel like people are more understanding, especially this quarantine. And I remember you posted something like, you know, nobody can ever say anything about a stay-at-home mama, but what she did all day. Like, people start to realize like this shit is hard. Whether you're homeschooling or not, whether you have an infant or a freaking even an 18-year-old, you know, if
you're still dealing with it,
you're still coping with emotions and different personalities, and they're growing in 2 months. Every month, a child's different. One minute they like, they're into this clothes, and then the next they're into that. And at one point, you kind of, what's the word? You're just like, you know what? Hold on 1 second. Sorry, mommy moment.
Okay.
Oh,
so exactly. That's what it is. So,
but yeah, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Pressures of society.
So yeah, even now, I think people are more understanding, they will never really understand the full spectrum of what we go through, especially if we're dealing with postpartum. There's some people that have 5 year and 6 year olds that are not dealing with it, but you still stay at home. And it's, say if you're a stay-at-home mom and going through postpartum, that's a whole different animal. So at the end of the day, dealing with both, with my child being home during the summer when I had my son, because I'm fast forwarding to now having my son, and then dealing with postpartum, but you're trying to be there for your child, and you're also trying to be there for yourself, and you're also trying to be there for your newborn.
And for your significant other, and for the list goes on.
Pressure is definitely, it's definitely less when you have your second, because you know what to expect. But with the first one, definitely, I was like, I don't know. You put this expectation in the idea in your mind of what you think how you should uphold your household, even if nobody's demanding that of you. You just naturally, normally, with your instincts, you just go into mom mode and just try to be superwoman, and that's not ideal, and it's not realistic. It's not at all.
Yep. But I think it's because, again, the preconceived labels and expectations that are put on us as women.
Yep.
You know, because it's a lot to deal with, and I personally feel like society expects certain things from stay-at-home moms based on what was going on back in the day,
for sure,
you know. And that's not even talking about mental health, because I can almost assure that there was a lot of women back then who were dealing with mental health stuff, but they just didn't know
exactly.
It and it wasn't spoken of, and you know, they dealt with it however they dealt with it. So I feel like society definitely puts a lot of pressure. Society puts pressure on women as it is, but I feel like stay-at-home moms' pressure is very different. Like my next question is, do you feel like we're judged differently? And I would have to say yes.
Hold on 1 second. Sorry, I'm back.
No worries. These are the things that people don't understand when you have kids. You know, you have every 5 minutes of interruption. So it's totally understandable. Don't worry about it. I get it. Trust me. My other thing, my follow-up question was, do you feel like we're judged differently? And I was saying that I feel like we are. As a stay-at-home mom, you're judged different than, let's say, a working mom. Or, you know, it's just different. The pressures are different. The expectations are different. The,
yeah,
it's just different. I don't know if you agree, but I feel like it's totally different.
Now, I think with my second child, it was more like, so when are you going back to work? So when are you going back to work? And it's like, I need to be in the moment right now. I'm not thinking that far, you know, even though it's, it, yeah, even though it's breaks. Like, if your partner's making you feel like, okay, I can handle this for a year while you're on leave or whatever, and they can support you financially, but that, my son decided to sing, sorry. Hold on.
He's so cute. And he's like, nope, I want to be part of the podcast, mom.
Okay, so yes. We're back.
Okay, go ahead. So you were saying that you feel like we're judged differently?
Questioning us as far as like, when are we going back to work? And then once you solidify that with your partner, as far as like, okay, stay with the kids and I'll hold us down, you still feel like, damn, but I should be doing something. But knowing that what you're doing is more than enough of your half, because we don't equally
oh my God, yes.
compare it to a full-time job that's making this money, we don't think we're doing enough. And that's one of the things I had to like shift and change my mind, because like with my first child, I did not think that way. But now with my second, I'm just like, I'm doing that and then some. I'm you know, taking care of the house. I am, you know, doing anything that has to do with the home. Adding homeschooling to that, trying to continue to keep my 1-year-olds, you know, active and stimulated mentally. And then also trying to like work out myself and eat healthy and take care. So at the end of the day, I'm just like, you know what? At this point, he can make $1 million. What I do is still priceless. And it's just as important. But right. I think now it's definitely different. Like I said, people do understand what it is, but they will never understand because they will never be in our shoes or feel what we feel, because we go through the motions. That mom guilt is real. And we don't need, how can we say it? Like I think from each other, like we need to kind of tell each other, like, what we're doing is definitely more than enough, and we shouldn't feel we need to compensate for what we think we're not doing. What we're doing is just fine. Does that make sense?
Right. Of course. I feel like it's harder. The worst judgment for me is the female on female judgment, especially when it comes to like being mothers, parenting, and just women in itself, because I feel that as a mom, as a woman, you go through a series of a million things that we're dealing with emotionally, you know, but as a mom, it's like added, you know, like you're all, everything you're saying, I'm just like, yes, because it's it's my reality. No, it's the truth. I mean, my twins are 3 years old and I'm still like, oh my God, I need to work because I need to make money, you know, and it's a constant every day. Like I'll be good for 2 weeks. And then the next week I'm like, okay, I need to go back to work because I need to feel like, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, and it's not about people. It's about me, because you're constantly shifting your mind to like, listen, what you're doing is a job. It's enough. You know, it's more than enough. It's priceless. Like you're saying. So these are the little things that I feel like as women, we should be more supportive and less judgmental, because we're all dealing with demons that we don't necessarily talk about all the time, definitely. But we are, you know, and as women, we should know that, you know. So I feel like we're definitely judged differently. And I feel like the pressures of comparisons as well. My number one pet peeve of being a stay-at-home mom is, oh, but la mujer, you know, women from before
used ellos to no do sufrían it all. De eso. Ellos no tenían
and
eso.
Didn't complain. No, or, yeah, yeah. Or they didn't complain. They used to do it all. It's like, how do you know what these women were going through? How do you know the you know, like I had a conversation with my mom a while ago and I said, Mom, did you know, you know, this is before, you know, my mom had no idea that I was going through postpartum. No one really did because I didn't share that information. But when I told her, she was like, you know what? I probably had that when I had you guys. And I said, you know what, Mom? My recollection of you, me growing up, I remember I always saw your eyes sad. And I can understand that as a woman now. Why? Because you're losing. It's like you're losing yourself, but giving your all to your kids. So I understand it now. She was like, you know what? You're right. She's like, but back then I didn't have a name. We just dealt with it. And you know, so when I hear people say that to me, it's like, how do you know? And anyway, we're not then, we're now.
Exactly.
You know, it's a different time. It's a different, it's just, I just feel like people in general need to remove expectations. If there were no expectations, I feel like it'd be just a different, like a better world.
I definitely.
That's just me. Especially when it comes to parenting.
Like everybody parents differently and understands their child differently. And I feel like even with going back to like what you stated about your mom, thinking about my own mother, you know, I know your mother had four children. My mother had five, and trying to kind of like reconnect with yourself after every child. And then let's say if you did have them back to back or 2-3 years after, like you're not, at least for some women, like postpartum can last forever, believe it or not, or postpartum can be,
exactly,
you know, short for others. But to kind of, I feel like you, every time you have a child, say if you're having more than one, you're kind of like different. You're reborn again. You're changing. You're a new woman. Your mindset changes completely, at least in my opinion. And so to go through those transition and phases and not even know that you are, and it's those, let's say like it took you 10 years for your children to finally like grow up and be a little bit bigger, for you to realize like, shit, like what did I do with myself? What was my mind? What was I thinking? Like, how did I just let this go over my head and not even think? So imagine our mothers that look back at their lives like, wow, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Like, I wish I put myself out there and expressed myself and shared something to kind of just have some peace of mind and make sure and tell myself, like, I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. But they didn't have that. Even in the 90s, I don't even think it was a thing to talk about that shit. You would hear these cases of moms drowning their children. That's when the postpartum extreme, or mothers killing themselves, or and just knowing that how many way sisters there are now and how that wasn't is mind boggling to me, because it's a national health scare. It's not just, it's just, I honestly think it's just as bad as this pandemic. Like having all these women and not vocalizing or sharing that they have this problem, you know what I mean? And people don't put it that way because when it doesn't affect them, that's when they shrug their shoulders. But when it starts to, like this pandemic, oh, it's a problem, we got to change this, we got to be cautious, better careful. But when it comes to mental health, which is what postpartum is, it's like, well, it's not affecting me, so I'm not a part of the problem, you know what I mean? So that's one of the stigmas that kind of sucks about that part of motherhood.
What other, that was one of my questions actually, like what is one of the stigmas that you hear most about stay-at-home moms? Because I have a few.
Basically, we live off our partner, or we enjoy not working for them to give us everything. Or, yeah.
Oh, they got it good.
Yep, pretty much.
They got it
You
good.
should be
They're
grateful.
home,
You
they're
should be
chilling.
grateful.
They're chilling.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're so lucky. You're
What
so lucky.
else? That's the
You're so
number one.
lucky. But what do you do all
It
day?
pretty
But what do you do
much.
all day? You're home, your
Yep.
kids are chilling. Like, you watching TV, you this and that. Like, this is why, like, you don't understand when I put that post, I
Of
meant it
course.
from my core. Even though it wasn't my post,
Of
I
course, because I
reposted it,
felt
but
it.
I'm
Any
just like,
woman, if you, it's basically that,
oh
like,
my
if you know,
God.
you know. You know what I mean? If you know, you know.
Yeah. I know a lot of my
Exactly.
ladies are like, hell
Exactly.
yeah. Because it's no
And
joke.
that's the thing, like, and it's not to shade any man or any parent that is involved and does help, but there's certain things that they go through and feel that they will never experience, because at the end of the day, the caseload always falls on us. And it doesn't mean that they don't have their what's the word? They don't have their issues. And I know men go through their own form of postpartum in their way. They're trying to reconnect with their partner, and they're going through their shit, and or they want something from us that they can't get, which is sexually sometimes, which definitely turns off after having kids. So I get their struggle, but at the but at the end of the day, it's what was that?
No, I'm
Oh
laughing.
no.
I'm
So
laughing at
it's
what you're
like I
saying because
get
it's
that,
true.
but it's and I always have this conversation with my partner, and I always tell him, like, listen, I'm not undermining how you feel, especially after I had King and what you're going through, but my situation's a total it's totally different. Yes, you have every right to feel how you feel, and I acknowledge them, but it's just it doesn't, because everything at the end of the day falls on me, you know.
Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. And this is not, because some listeners might be like, oh no, my house is different, blah, blah, blah. Like, listen, this is not everybody's situation. But for the most part, and I may be, speaking out of context, but from what I feel, for the most part, most of it falls on the woman. It falls on the woman. We have a whole lot of different pressures and a whole lot of different responsibilities. And that's not to say that men don't have pressure because they deal with a whole lot of other stuff that we have no idea about. You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. It's just different because I tell this to Elijah all the time. Like, as I'm trying to be a parent, I'm
Exactly.
also rebuilding myself. That's why parents make mistakes. We're not perfect. And every day is a new day for you to make yesterday better than,
Exactly.
today better than it was yesterday. So I'm working on myself as I'm
Word.
working on being a parent. And a lot of people don't understand that. And at the same time, you're working on your relationship because guess what? Your relationship is not the same after you have one child, let alone
Exactly.
two, let alone three. So all of that, you're working on that at the same time. And at the same time, you're squeezing in maybe an hour
Yep.
for yourself.
Yep,
An
that's what it
hour.
is.
You know what I'm saying? So there's so much that goes on top of a female that I feel like these stigmas of they got it good, you should be grateful, you don't do anything at home. It's
For
like, come
sure.
on, give us a little bit more credit.
And
You know what I'm saying?
sorry, go ahead.
Because it's just, ugh.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, go ahead. I'm done.
Oh, yes.
I was done with my
No,
thought.
exactly what you said. It's just it's definitely something, like, I learned how to understand that it's okay that people don't understand, but at least acknowledge and respect it. I'd rather you ask a question to understand than comment on my current lifestyle without even knowing what's my thought process or how I feel. Because a lot of people think certain things, even with mental health, period, it can be turned on and off. Like, one minute tonight, once I have a conversation or I seek help or I go through something or I talk to my partner, that the next day everything's going to be dandy. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen the next day with my emotions, you know? So it's definitely, you know, if you want to understand, just ask and educate yourself on it on your own goddamn time. If you're curious.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And at the end of the day, listen, like, just because we're stay-at-home moms doesn't mean that we didn't have a life before our kids. You know what I'm saying? Like we're supposed to not, like, I just don't get when people have this mentality, like, oh, but you're like, you shouldn't be complaining because, you know, you get to be home with your kids and, you know, you're a mom and there's so many, like, I don't want to hear all of that. I really don't, because everybody's mental state and everybody's expectations for themselves is already high as it is for someone else to come and throw you their little, you know, this is what I think. Like, I didn't ask you. I really didn't. You know what I'm saying? So just spare me all of that. Like, to be honest, after I had my twins and moving to a different state, I feel like I've had such inner growth for myself, especially when it comes to judgment, because I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't judge people, because I did. We all do. You know, we've all judged at one point or another. But that's one thing that I've worked on for myself, of passing judgment, especially to other moms and other females, because I know that with all the stuff that I've been through and all the judgments that I've gotten and all the comments that I've gotten, I feel like, you know what? I don't want to be that person to anybody, because I don't know if this stay-at-home mom that looks so happy jogging in the park with her baby while I look a freaking mess and I can't even keep my kids together, I don't know that lady is totally good. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like we have to work a little harder to be a little nicer, you know?
Definitely.
With each other, I feel. Do you feel your relationship with your partner has changed since becoming a stay-at-home mom? If so, how? Like, when you were a stay-at-home mom, how do you feel like your relationship shifted?
You go into that resentful stage of, like, why did I have another baby? Why did he get me pregnant? Why is he working?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why can he go out? Why can he this and that?
I feel like that blame game already messes everything up. And yes, there are valid feelings because we're going through it. But when you get over the cloud and you look back after, hopefully you're able to overcome your postpartum stage, and then you kind of like rebuilding yourself and you're like, okay, you know, I could have like tweaked this about my mindset. But with the relationship, as long as I was vocal about my mental state, it was helpful for him to understand how he can maneuver himself at home, how he can be helpful, how he can be supportive as a partner. Because with my first child, I wasn't as vocal as I was now. Mm-hmm. I was very much afraid of making him feel like he had to be scared for me when I was alone with the baby. Does that make sense? Because when you come from a standpoint where you're not as educated on postpartum, you right away think the worst. You know what I mean? And for him, he was just as young as me. It's just probably only 25. Like, you're an adult, but it's your first time being a parent. So you're going to think the worst. So now with the second child, like, I remember a few months back when you were here, I had spoke about my postpartum journey, and I told him, I'm like, every month I'm going to walk around with a sign in my head that says 2 months postpartum, 3 months postpartum, So he understood, like, I'm still going through this and I still need your support and I need you to treat me, not like you're walking on eggshells, but just remind yourself, like, I'm Lizbeth, but I'm different and something feels different. I feel like yeah. our communication skills definitely got better, but on the downside, I think what definitely changed? Definitely sex always changes because you're consumed and you're tired and your body is, you don't look how it used to. It doesn't look how it used to. It doesn't feel how it used to. And if you're not reconnected again with yourself, you're definitely not going to want to share that experience if your mind, mentally, physically, emotionally is not into it. And that's another thing, like, what's hard for your partner to understand. Like, it's not about you. It's not that I'm not attracted to you. It's just, like, I'm not feeling myself to give myself. And that's one of the hardest things, like, making sure, because right. For men, it's very much their ego and their pride. You know, making their, if you're with a partner that is definitely unselfish and loves to please you, in any way, and if they feel like they can't give that to you, their ego suffers sometimes. And it's not, and sometimes it's not about them. That's just how they think. Mm-hmm. And so for us, like, the sex was definitely one of the things that suffered. You know, our quality time going on dates or even traveling was something that suffered because, hi, baby. It definitely made us kind of take a step back, and we didn't go full-fledged into the parenthood as far as, like, we forgot about each other. It definitely still was in the back of our minds, but we, just because in the moment we couldn't do it, it put a strain in our relationship because that was our only way of enjoying each other. What else? And then definitely the help, because, you know, obviously when you have a newborn and you say if you're breastfeeding mother, the baby's just gonna want you, and they only want to be on top of you, near you at mm-hmm. all times. So for me, yep. I know I mentally prepared myself for that and I knew it, but at times, like, you question yourself, like, is, once again, that mom guilt kicks in. I'm like, is this the right thing? Should I be breastfeeding? Should I not? Should I be, I could, instead of breastfeeding, you start to kind of feel like you're neglecting the baby if you decide to do formula and you just let the baby support themselves so you can enjoy your relationship more. So you're battling all these things. I'm like, it's definitely things that, it's not picking and choosing, obviously, mm-hmm. between your kids and your partner. It's more of like a balancing act. And that's one of the hardest things after having your child and trying to keep your relationship alive.
Yep. I will have to agree for me too. I feel like with Eli, I would say, like, I don't feel like my relationship with David significantly changed, but I feel like with the twins, it's a totally different ballgame. Like, it's just, you know, having two kids at the same time puts a lot of strain on you as an individual and as your, and also your relationship, because now, you know, there is no, like, for you, like, the same as you, I was this time around, I was super vocal with Eli. I was not, because, you know, I wanted to kind of, like, feel like you, like, I can do it. I got it. You know, I it was almost for myself, you know, like, I can do it. I got it. And he's working. And, you know, I didn't want anyone to say anything. And I didn't want to feel like I couldn't either. But with the twins, there was no negotiating. Like, I'm definitely going to speak up. I'm definitely going to talk. I'm definitely going to say what I feel. I'm definitely going to let you know that I need help. And all of that takes a toll on you. You know, all of that takes a toll on your relationship. You're extremely exhausted at the end of the day, you know, and you don't even have time to give to yourself, let alone, okay, now let me go
exactly, you know, get sexy, like, that's not even normal.
Lay down and have sex. Like, that's not.
Yep. Yeah.
It is. It's not in your mind.
No, of course.
I'm sorry.
Course.
It's just not. You know, I'm not gonna say never, but for the most part, especially in the beginning, I mean, come on. So, you know, all of that takes a toll. And for me, it's not only about sexual. It's like you're mentally, yep. Are you connecting mentally, you know, which is more important than sexually, because if you're not connecting mentally with one another, that's an issue also. So for me, I feel like the one thing about my relationship with David is that we've always had great communication. Like, we're always able to you know, talk like friends and keep it real with each other. Like, hey, listen, this, you know, like lay it all out. And, you know, thankfully, we've always been very vocal and very honest with one another, whether we want to hear the truth or not. And I feel like that always helps, you know, but I feel like your relationship definitely changes. And like you said, it's all about balance. And one of my questions is it hard to balance? And it's definitely hard. It's extremely hard. Even if you're home, you're still balancing a gazillion things, you know, like, especially with this quarantine, you know what I'm saying? Like with this quarantine, it's like, I have to get up. I have to do stuff with my twins. I have to make sure Eli is connected. I have to make this. I have to do that. I have to that. And then you have to give, I give myself an hour to work out because, you know, God forbid I take an hour for myself. And, you know, and it's like, that's it. I'm not sitting in my living room watching Netflix like majority of people. You know, I don't. So you're constantly doing something. So there's just so much that you're battling, like that you're balancing at the same time and still trying to keep a smile in your face for your kids. You know, so it's hard. It's definitely hard. I don't know how I manage, to be honest. I really don't.
The beauty of woman.
For me, it's I don't know what it is. I know I've done it. I don't know how, but I've done it. I feel like it's hard.
You said,
what about for you?
The question was like, how do you balance?
And how do you manage?
Well,
like, is it hard for you? How do you do it?
Balance is always a tricky thing, man. I know that. I kind of stopped playing the game of, like, my kids every day have to do something or accomplish something or constantly be on top of them and let them be. Still have some guide and direction just so I don't put that pressure on myself because I know how I get. So basically, in order for me to have sanity, I just let them be and still, you know, continue to give my child responsibilities, still try to be very much involved, but tell myself it's okay to back off because sometimes kids need a break from us too. You know what I mean? And sometimes people don't understand that. Hold on. Sometimes people don't understand that. But there's times when I'm like, I mean, Kai must be tired of hearing me do this, do that. So I myself, I'm like, you know what? I need a break from doing that. I'm going to sit down and just let her be. If the mess is made, the mess is made. If something's left on the floor, it's left on the floor. Like, I stop not caring, but just giving myself things mentally in my mind that mentally drained me. It wasn't worth it. Or even with my partner, if there was something that I didn't like or... basically, picking and choosing your battles. That's one of the ways I try to keep myself mentally sane because I'm very much a organized, clean person, like A-type personality where I want things a certain way. But like, I noticed that wasn't taking me anywhere. So I kind of just loosened up on myself. And then when my partner, like I said, with my second time around having my child, I told myself, I'm like, I'm definitely going to be vocal. If I hurt his feelings, I hurt his feelings. If he understands, he understands. If he doesn't, but I just know I took it off my chest and I feel better that I did. And what else? And definitely, you know, taking initiative because I very much was very dependent of him in a sense of making the plans or doing the dates or buying this or doing that to cater to the relationship. Because at one point when you're so involved with parenthood, you forget once again about your relationship and that you can also contribute because you're not the only one going through. So once I was able to start working and was able to do special things for us in the relationship, that made me feel good and it fulfilled me. And I felt a little bit more balanced even between us. Just letting go of, what's the word? How I thought things should be and just starting new habits that were healthy for me, that were gonna, in my opinion, make me feel successful. And not thinking I know it all too, because, you know, I'm grateful for a partner that tells me, like, you need to fucking calm down. Or you need to, like, there's times where, let's say, if you go through a dry spell where you're not having sex with your partner, and then they remind you, like, no, you need this. You need to do this to relax and chill. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, that's true. Yeah. Like, let me make you feel good, baby.
You need this to stress, like, girl.
Like, we don't know it all. And sometimes when you're a mom and you're on a rigid schedule, you're the type to go, 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 and you're doing this, and you're going here, and dance school here, and soccer here, you can lose sight of that shit. And sometimes your partner's be like, yo, like, sit down. Shut up. Or come over here. Yeah. You know, and sometimes that's how
sit the F down, chick.
I know there's women that are very headstrong. You need to calm down. They're like, nah, what I say goes in my house, that's cool too, but how long is that going to last? You know, like, you just need to chill. It's good to be a powerful woman, but it's okay to take a seat and let them drive the car sometimes. And it has nothing to do with man roles and woman roles. It's just like, you need to let your mental state breathe. And that's okay. So that's how I've coped with balance so far. It hasn't all been great and easy. There's times where we can go 2 weeks where it's just like, yeah, we fell off. Or I fell off. Like, I just fuck everything. I don't want a mom today. I don't want to clean today. I don't want to cook today. I just want to sit with my glass of wine and watch Sex and the City replays, you know?
Yep. For me, I've basically just removed expectations, period, point blank, from every aspect. Homeschooling.
Yes.
Everything. And it just works wonders. Ever since I had the twins, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it however it gets done. Like, for example, my twins are 3, going to be 4.
And you shouldn't
be. Still not 100% potty trained. Do you think I'm stressed about it? Nope. But other people are. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just the way the world is, you know? Like, oh, but aren't
do you want to potty train them?
Aren't they almost this and that? Shouldn't they already be potty trained? Oh, they don't. No.
Yep.
No, my kids will potty train whenever they're ready. I'm not going to stress myself. I don't have a timeline for things anymore, because if I do, I'm going to drive myself crazy. So I do what works for me. And I just decided that I don't want to have expectations or timelines. And that's just what helps me stay sane and stay balanced in my house. Even with Eli, you know, because it's just too much. It's too much. I don't need that extra stress. What is one thing people don't know about being a stay-at-home mom?
That you're never... Hold on 1 second. Hello. Sorry.
Okay. One thing people don't know about being a stay-at-home mom.
How can I say this? It disabilitates you, and it's discouraging. It definitely plays mind games on you. Because after the fog of, I always go back to like postpartum after you have your baby, because it's a whole transition. After you settle into knowing that you have a child or another new child, you have to thinking like, okay, this is my life right now temporarily, or however long you decided to stay at home with you and your partner, and with you and your child, and constantly reminding yourself that this is temporary. It's temporary. But then also not knowing that it's a long road, is discouraging, and it's scary, because you go straight into, what if I can't do this now, or this X amount of children that I have? What if I can't go here and do that or accomplish that? You start to replaying things in your head, and it becomes more of a fearful thing. You're always playing with the unknown. So that alone is scary, because you don't know where your life is going to go after, like, everything's over and you can finally, you know, go back to a certain lifestyle you were living. It's scary. You know, am I going to be seen the same way? Am I still going to have the same attention? Mm-hmm. Are my friends still going to want to chill with me? Can I still wear this? Can I still go here? Like, you're doing, like, because you're thinking about all the dynamics and relationships in your life. How are they going to shift? How are they going to change? So that's one of the things that people don't think about, like those underlying things that we think about that stress us out.
I think that also things that people don't know when you're a stay-at-home mom, for me, is you feel lonely a lot of times, you know, and not necessarily because there's a difference. Like, I feel full, abundantly full, because I have my kids, you know, and my kids bring me a joy that, like, you know, it's like nothing else. But still, there's a part of you inside, the part of you that was there before your kids, that yearns for certain things that being a stay-at-home mom doesn't give you, you know? So I feel like, you know, the one thing that I would love my listeners to take from this is we're going through it also. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're home, we're raising our kids, we're dealing with a thousand things on a day-to-day basis, but we're going through it as women also.
Exactly.
You know, just because we're not outside of the house doesn't mean that we're not going through it, you know? So for me, that's the biggest thing. Like, I feel for like sure. people, I would love people to kind of understand. My last question is, what advice would you give a person that's considering
some advice would be
being a
to
stay-at-home
make sure
mom?
That's what you really want to do. And if you want to go to work, that's okay. Just have a plan in place for you and your children, and make sure both you and your partner are on board. And if your partner's not on board, explain your reasonings. And if you do want to stay at home, just be ready to have also a tribe and a support group that you're willing to be transparent with and talk about these issues with, be it family members or friends, a counselor, whatever is realistic to you in your moment. Definitely if you have your partner by your side is in the picture and is supportive, make sure you're vocalizing the good, bad, and ugly of every day and every moment. If in the moment it feels like they may not understand, down the line they will, and it will click. And it's okay if they don't understand. And that's another thing. If some people don't understand in the moment, that gives them time to learn, digest it, and to educate themselves, which is fine, as long as you take it off your chest. And staying at home, understand, even though it's tough for first-time moms to just be like, it's okay, sit back and chill. But no, you know, there are times where it's okay to sit back and chill. Take it one day at a time and listen to yourself. Whatever in the back of mind you feel you want to do or say or go, and it's safe to do so, you know, do that. You know, nothing's off limits, but definitely be prepared as far as, like, taking those steps with you and your child or your partner. What else? And don't be afraid of just seeking support, because at the end of the day, you're not alone, and you may be helped. Not only are you helping yourself by being vocal, you're helping someone else as well. And not to worry about your postpartum body. That's huge, because your body works so long to create this child. You don't want to hate it. You should honor it and be happy. Try to be happy. I know it's a journey. The journey to happiness, to accept your body, is tough. I know that. But understand that you carried your child, and don't hate yourself for how you look. Eventually, you'll grow and learn to love it. And if you want to change something, do it. If that means losing weight, or not caring about losing weight, or just accepting. But if you do want to change something, tons of resources and support for that, and just do it.
Yep. I agree. I also want to add that my best advice, because I'm still a stay-at-home mom, is don't forget about yourself. As much as you will get consumed by your home life, your children, and everything else that comes with it, take care of you. Take care of you. I cannot, like, I want to say that a million times, because it's like you put yourself on the back burner, and we suffer. You know what I'm saying? It's like a plant that you don't water. The more you don't water it, the more it's crumbled, like it's gonna deteriorate. So you start deteriorating internally, and that's just gonna come out on your kids. It's gonna come out on your significant other, on your friends, on your family. So make sure you take care of you, whatever that is. If you like to read, if you like to paint, if you like to go to the gym, if you like to go for runs, if you like to watch reruns of stuff, make sure you take an hour a day for you. If anybody would have told me this years ago, I would have been so happy, because we don't allow ourselves that. We don't give ourselves permission to do that, because we feel like if we do, oh my God, I'm being a bad mom. No. Being a stay-at-home mom is a huge, huge job, and it's a huge task. So allow yourself, give yourself the permission to take care of yourself, and to say, you know what? I don't feel like momming today. Nope, I don't. I just want to sit on the couch and drink wine all day and let my kids eat pizza and French fries. Yep. Like, it's okay. They will definitely be all right. They will definitely be all right. Trust me. So, you know, that's my advice. And, you know, I hope that whatever mom is considering being a stay-at-home mom or transitioning into being a stay-at-home mom, I honestly hope that everything that we said on this podcast can help you in some way or you know, guide you or whatever, you know, or fill you. Because when we were going through it, we didn't have resources like these, which is why I wanted to do these podcasts. So, you know, I'm very happy and thankful, excuse me, for you, Lisbeth. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for allowing us to walk in your journey and join you in your
thank
motherhood
you
experience.
So much for having me. I appreciate
you know,
your
and,
platform
I appreciate
and what you're
you.
Doing. It's very
thank
important.
Thank you for taking the time.
And keep diligently working on it because you may think people don't listen or watch or pay attention, but they do, and it's something that needs to be highlighted more. So I appreciate that of you, and I appreciate your time and listening and hearing me out and being able to vibe on this. You're welcome.
Thank you very
much. Definitely, and likewise.
Take care and give the kids a kiss for me, okay?
For sure, definitely. I'm looking forward to that.
So we'll talk. We'll talk again for our future all right, stuff.
Bye.
All right. What a episode. I feel like everything Liz Buff was saying, I can relate to. You know, there was a lot of things that she said that I was about to say, and she said it first. And it's just another reason as to how us women are more connected than we imagine and we think. And, you know, being a stay-at-home mom is a different beast in itself. You know, it's just different. It's different. It's an amazing experience. You know, I wake up every single day grateful that I'm able to see my kids grow in my eyes. You know, it's a blessing, but it's also, it also has its cons, you know, and it's cons that moms are battling on their own. And it's comforting to know that we're not alone and that there's many other women that are struggling and feeling the same exact way. So, you know, you don't feel that guilty. You don't feel that that bad for feeling the things that you do feel here and there, you know. And, you know, I just really, truly hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and that you guys can take something from it, even if it's not for your personal experience or maybe it's someone that you know that is a stay-at-home mom. So I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys share, and I hope you guys continue to tune in. And again, stay tuned for more important and interesting topics on my future episodes. So catch you on the flip side.